So my name is Fernando Ovalle. I'm a professor of medicine, and I'm the director of the Division of Endocrinology, Diabetes, and Metabolism at the University of Alabama at Birmingham in the United States. And I'm the U.S. Editor-in-Chief for Diabetes Therapy. I have spent the last 3 days at the ADA conference in San Francisco listening to different lectures and participating in meetings, and I've learned quite a few interesting things. So the big takeaway messages from the ADA for me are a few clinical trials that continue to show that some of the new drugs that we have for diabetes have important effects in cardiovascular events and kidney disease. The most interesting data to me released during this conference include the REWIND trial. I think the REWIND trial was a trial that in which patients were assigned to either dulaglutide, which is a GLP-1 agonist, versus placebo, and they were looking at the effects in cardiovascular outcomes. Now, this trial was a little bit different from others because the type of patients that were involved, they were perhaps a little bit younger than patients in other cardiovascular outcome trials, and they could have or not have cardiovascular disease. Most of them have enough cardiovascular risk factors, so it was a little bit more of a real-world trial, if you will. This trial actually showed that the dulaglutide, just like some of the other GLP-1 agonists, can reduce major adverse cardiovascular events. The reduction was not huge, but I think the fact that it was able to achieve that goal in this population is quite significant. Also, it also pointed to the fact that there was a significant reduction in strokes. And I think this is something that we are seeing in most of these GLP-1 outcome studies, is that stroke rates seem to be lower and maybe driving some of these overall outcomes, the MACE outcomes. And it actually complements really well what the SGLT2s are doing, because they seem not to fare as well in terms of stroke. So I think that's some of the most interesting data that I've seen here. The most important developments in diabetes currently, I think, are those in the area of precision medicine. I think there has been a lot of interest in that over the last few years, but until now, we hadn't seen so much discussion about it in these scientific meetings, and there was several sections where precision medicine in diabetes was discussed. And as a matter of fact, the presidential address touched on that quite a bit, and then the Banting Medal recipient, Professor Al Raheely, also discussed some of the data that he discussed from his own findings are very much in that area. So I think there's a lot of interest in research in that research area, and it's taking up. I think precision medicine in diabetes is very interesting because it's another way of looking at how to manage patients with diabetes. You know, we tend to perhaps be too fixed on determining, okay, what do they have, type 1 diabetes or type 2 diabetes, and we oversimplify their diagnosis. Precision medicine makes us think about diabetes as a much more heterogeneous disease. It's possible we may not be able to put people in precise diagnostic buckets all the time, but it's important to think about their likely outcomes. And if we start thinking about diabetes and how they may respond to therapies differently, and how can we change their outcomes in the individual patient as opposed to as a group in general, we will be doing a service to our patients. It is very likely that some patients will, with type 2 diabetes, will respond better to certain drugs in terms of reducing the risk of having strokes or heart attacks in the future, and different than other subsets of patients. And while we may not be able to find their exact cause, we may be able to find what patients respond to what drug better and prevent disease and complications in a little bit better. Where I see the developments in research and care in the future are in the area of cardiovascular disease outcomes. I think that's where we're going to continue to see advances and therapies addressing those needs. You know, we're no longer just thinking about, well, we got to reduce the glucose, we got to normalize the glucose, but we have to be thinking more on how can we make these patients' lives better and longer. And that's by reducing their complications. In some patients, it may not matter as much to reduce their glucose level as much as it may matter to put them on the right drug that will give them their risk reduction in the long term. So that's, I think, the area where we're going to see changes. We, as always, have in new therapies that are being developed, and I think there are several interesting therapies. The combination of GLP-1 receptor agonist with the GIP agonist is an interesting one. The glucagon story is another very interesting therapeutic area. So I think there are several areas that are developing fast. Well, what questions do we still need to answer in diabetes? Well, there's still a lot of questions to be answered, and we still know very little about diabetes in general. We would like to understand why the people develop diabetes, who is at risk, and be able to predict that and prevent it. We want to prevent complications. We want to have better therapies. So there is a lot of questions in just about every area of diabetes. But we're making small, steps and progress towards that. There is another area that I think is important that I perhaps haven't mentioned is the technology. Technology is moving at a faster pace, I think, than pharmacology and other areas in the research of diabetes. And that may have to do with the funding, that may have to do with the way regulatory agencies work and allow things to progress. But some of these devices, the insulin pumps and the continuous glucose monitors, are improving really fast, and it won't be long from when we have a fully functioning automated pump where we just put them on the patient and we don't have to enter any data other than perhaps their weight, and the pumps will fully control their blood glucose. That is, I think, within the next 5 years, perhaps even less. I think machine learning is going to help a lot in that as well. So there is very exciting things happening in diabetes technology.